This message, well, for those of you who haven't been here, we've been working our way through the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and seventh Beatitude. Let's start with prayer. Father, again, I thank you for this day, and I pray that it would bring about change in our life, that your words would speak to our hearts and minds, that we would be open and receptive, not to our will, but to your will. And that this time spent in your sanctuary would be about bringing change. For these things we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Jesus continues teaching on the characteristics of being a believer, a true follower of Christ, this is what he's talking about through the Beatitudes. He's talking about how we're to live to be like him. And in verse 9 he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Is it any wonder that after speaking on the pure in heart, now 2 weeks ago, that he would focus on the peacemakers? I think they go hand in hand. I wish I could preach like Jesus. He just is so good. Through my study, I have come to realize that a peacemaker is somebody who is daily fixing their eyes on Jesus to conquer the sin in their own lives. And with his help, you got to get that. And with his help, they work to bring about peace in the war that is raging in their hearts and minds. Which in turn, over the course of time, equips them to help others fight and conquer this common battle. Is there anyone here who doesn't battle sin? Oh, I thought I was dyslexic. I thought, no, I battle sin every day. Let me reword that question. Does anybody battle with sin every day? Boy, it's such an honest church. There's a couple liars here, but maybe they're just not listening. Anyway, this is going to be a good sermon. What does it look like to be a peacemaker? See, I struggle with these things. I lob out a question that I just spent almost 3 weeks pondering. But what does it look like to be a peacemaker? When I was 13 or 14 years old, my dad was on this kick about saying shalom to anybody that crossed his path. I'm 14 years old. I get dragged out to my brother's cello lesson. We go to the diner for hot chocolate, and he says shalom to the girl behind the counter. And go get my hair cut with my dad. He says to the barber, shalom. So like any good young teenager, when their dad starts speaking in tongues, I ask him, what does that mean? And he said, peace. And then he went on to say, he learned from a Jewish co-worker that it meant more than the absence of peace. Shalom was a greeting that said, God's highest good to you. So when I say shalom to you, I mean God's highest good. Like, is there anything better? Ruth said earlier, and I leaned over to Tracy and said, there's God again. She says, is there anything better than God's peace? No, of course not. In verse 9, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who love peace. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, can you think of anyone who doesn't love the concept of peace? I mean, nobody in their right mind enjoys conflict, right? But how many are willing to make peace when faced in a difficult situation? Man, your body quivers. You just know. I don't know if that's your battle, but that's mine. We know unrest. Yes? The pursuit of true peace is often experienced on the other side of conflict. Have you ever gone through something and then you go, I made it? Why do we have to have this struggle? I don't know. But I believe God in His infinite wisdom is not opposed to using these situations to effectively bring about change in our lives. We go through difficulties so that we can learn. Yes? I hope we learn, and I hope that we learn quickly. To experience God's highest good, true peace, you know, the peace that surpasses all understanding, we need to be willing to endure the battle between sin and righteousness. The truth is, without God's righteousness in our lives, there will be no real peace. I have experienced that. Think of how God sent Jesus to help us get through life. Isaiah 9:6 says, He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, realized that to have true peace, there must be at times conflict. Christ died to reconcile God and people. Romans 5:1-5 says, Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Do you live for Sunday? This is when we exude our praise to God. And then the people in the world see us going, what is wrong with those people? Why do they got their hands lifted up? Why are they worshiping and praising? Because we have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we have this, we have peace. Yes? Paul goes on to say, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. We're looking at the character qualities of Christ. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. It will never let us down. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Ephesians 2:14-18 says, He Himself is our peace. He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by His Spirit. To recognize God lives in you. And this is how we reflect Him. What does it look like to be a peacemaker? I know you need about 3 weeks to figure it out. Let me share this. A peacemaker is somebody who comes between two people that are at odds with each other, and they're willing to take a hit on both sides, if necessary, in order to bring about reconciliation, which in turn brings peace. Maybe this is why we don't see so many peacemakers. Are you willing to take a hit for your best friend? because this is not an easy task. Peacemakers go the distance, or they're willing to. But if we're actively seeking to take on the character qualities of Christ, this is what we're called to do. We're to reflect God's love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21 says, "Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now." Yes? "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ and has given us this task of reconciling people to him. It's our job. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave to us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." This is what we believe, right, church? Yes, I'm so glad there's agreement. The truth of the gospel message is that Christ bore God's wrath on the cross for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of the world, so we can have a right relationship with him. There's no greater display of love, and there's no greater message to make known. Why does the church remain silent? Because we don't want to get the blows from both sides. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We're fearful, or at least timid. It's not easy to stand up here, and some of my messages are not easy to hear. And if you think they're hard to hear, they're pretty hard to speak. But they bring about change. This whole message is God's word. I have about 8 sentences, maybe 2 paragraphs. The rest is God speaking to us through his word. Never forget the truth of Romans 5:1. We have been declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And until you have him as your Lord, will you have peace? Real peace. Really, the peace I think that the world offers is just a truce. We wave our white flag and we're like, I'm just not going to argue for a bit. But true peace is the righteousness of God. Peacemakers are those who devote their lives to sharing this message. Why? Because they've experienced God's righteousness and his peace. And they really hope that someone else might experience it too. Is that your desire, church? A right relationship with God opens the door to a right relationship with others. Romans 12:10 through 18 gives a snapshot of love in action. We read, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Listen, if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's difficult, at least for me. And I think we all confess when we hold that round thing in the steel box, it's hard to be at peace. And that's just a little thing. Peacemakers take on the characteristics of Christ and they seek to reflect the love of Christ by forgiving those who have sinned against them. They bless and do not curse when wronged. Peacemakers humble themselves and ask forgiveness when they've sinned against someone else. That's what it is to make peace. To have a good, strong relationship with others, we must confront the sin that lurks in our own life. Always take care of yourself first. In Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Jesus taught, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a large plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." It's a good recipe for success. Jesus taught that if we're going to successfully take the speck of sin out of our neighbor's life, we need to take the log of sin out of our own life first. Sin and righteousness don't go together. God will have nothing to do with it, and honestly, neither should we. Jesus uses some pretty strong words in the matters of sin in our life. In Matthew 5, 29 and 30, he says, "If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. For it's better to you, for it's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." In other words, as true followers of Christ, we need to be ruthless in seeking to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles our heart. We'll have nothing to do with it. You know, I went through an issue this week, and I ran to Psalm 101. Everybody write that one down. It's sort of like, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Except it's God's word. Psalm 101. You want to write that one down. It'll bring about change in your life. Why would Jesus say if our eye causes us to stumble, we should gouge it out? And if our hand causes us to stumble, why should we cut it off? I believe it's because he knows that as we conquer the wrong thoughts and actions in our heart and mind, we become more effective to leading others to the one who gives righteousness freely. But we're not going to have that conversation if there's sin in our life. It's very difficult for me to say something and live another way. It's very difficult if there's sin in my life to be effective. And there is sin in my life, and I recognize the hindrance. I'm just being brutally honest to myself. This is a difficult ministry. But Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. God's child, his only son, ultimately confronted all sin at the cross. He bore the penalty for everyone's sin so they could be reconciled to God. Made right. God will have nothing to do with sin. He cannot look at me but through the eyes of Jesus. As a follower of Christ, we should share in his passion for peace and reconciliation. How? By daily fixing our eyes on Jesus to conquer the sin that's lurking in our lives, and with his help to bring about peace to the war that's in our hearts and minds. When we experience the success, we're being equipped to help others fight and conquer this common battle as well. We all face it. There's a war raging. And God's word that I'm begging you to get into gives us the instruction on how to prevail. Is anyone working their way through Matthew right now? There's only 89 verses in the four books of, or 89 chapters in the four books of the Gospels. I've encouraged you to read them because I know that after 21 days, you form a habit. Here's the good news. After 21 days, you can break a habit. Wow. Yeah, it works. But we have to do the work first. It boils down to this thought. Do you desire God's blessing more than the blessings of others? More than the blessing that this world temporarily gives us? Are you willing to confront the sin that's lurking in your heart? Not so you can enjoy peace, which you will experience when you prevail, but to become a peacemaker and be blessed by God. I argued, it's going out, dear. The choice is completely up to you. Father, again, we thank you for your word, that we have access to it every day, that it's powerful to bring about change, and I pray that we would not leave it on the table for another moment, that you would create in us a desire to hunger and thirst for you, to purify ourselves, to become peacemakers, so that we would be a new vessel for you to use to make a difference in the world we live. God, I thank you for calling us by name, by making a simple relationship with you available to us. I pray that we would take the step and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Every hour I need you. Father, continue to do the work that you've begun in us. Help us to be the people you created us to be. Today, tomorrow, until you come again or call us home. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.